It's great to see everyone this morning. But I want you to, for a moment, forget about all the people around you as best as you can. We just had an amazing time of being led into the presence of God. And I want you to remember that's where you are right now. That according to Scripture, you know, we are seated in the throne room with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. So that Holy Spirit that resides inside of you, if you've given your life to Jesus, is right now both, you know, in heavenly places with Jesus and living inside of you. So I want you to become aware of just how powerful that Holy Spirit is right now. So just pause for a second. Just pause, close your eyes, whatever you need to do to try to dwell out, to just to drown out the surroundings around you. Imagine that Jesus is standing right there with you. Imagine what he would be saying to you right now. Actually, just have that conversation. Let him speak to you. Let him speak to you. And as you're there with him, whatever's on your heart to say to him, you say that to him. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have your way with us. Thank you you're right here with us right now, living inside each and every one of us. Just feel Holy Spirit wanting to say to some of you, I chose you. I chose you. But Jesus wants you to know and remember just how loved you are. That's not just an emotional love. It's not just a gushy feeling, though hopefully it feels good to you knowing that you're loved by God. But that love makes him patient with you, kind towards you. He's the love of God. Is greater than any earthly love that we can have. It's more powerful and more perfect. And it's in that place that we are today, that we, you know, we've been talking over the last few weeks about being justified, about being sanctified, using these terms. But all of that, what that means is that right now with God, he's with you. And there's nothing that can separate you from his love if you've given your life to Jesus. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. He is fully with you. You sense it. You sense, can you feel it? Can you feel his love for you? Can you feel his acceptance of you? The practicality of this thing of being sanctified and justified and made holy is that that love is without condition. It's not dependent on whether you've had a good day, a bad day, whether you've got things right today or not, that your position with God is that you are a beloved child of Him. That's who you are. Just let Him work that into you. Let Him work that into you this morning. That regardless of what any circumstances that you're facing, that you're a beloved child of Him. And He's a good Father. That's the Father that created the universe, and He wants to take care of you. You've got a good older brother in Jesus who wants to teach, show you the way that you should go. And you've got the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you, who is your counselor and your teacher, who's revealing more and more truth to you all the time about who Jesus is. That's the reality of who you are today. And he's able to give us everything that we need. This is how good He is. I had someone come up to me for prayer last week, and they were in an absolutely desperate situation. Literally the next day, it was like everything was going to fall apart. And there was literally nothing they could do. And to be fair with you, I don't even know the details of what happened in terms of it coming back together. I just know the only thing I could pray with them, I had no answers. I had absolutely no answers, nothing in my own ability I could do for them. All I could say is, like, let's just take this and hand it over to Jesus. Just surrender it to Jesus, because He knows. And He's a good Father, and He, you know, God is a good Father, and He knows how to handle this situation. I got word back this week that the situation completely turned around. Completely turned around for them. You know? And that's, I think one of the hardest things we have in our self-sufficient world and in our self-sufficient lives and in the way the world bombards us all the time is this idea of actually surrendering to that very one who loves us. To allow Him to be the one that does the work in and through our lives. To Him to be the one that brings about the results. And that requires us to pause like we're doing this morning. Pause and become aware of Him. You know, not because He commands it or requires it, as, you know, like, well, if you don't do it my way, it's that it's the only way. If I'm not aware of God, then I'm aware of my problem. If I'm not aware of God, then I'm aware of the circumstances in the world around me. But when I'll become aware of Him, when I'll pause like we did this morning, just remember who I am, and remember who He is. It's then that we start to enter into the realm where we realize that nothing is impossible for us, not because of our own ability and strength, but because of who He is, because of who God is. And it becomes a little easier in those moments to trust Him, to entrust situations to Him, to entrust the outcome of things to Him. Because in our own ability, in our own strength, we may want a particular outcome. We may want things to work out a particular way. And part of that surrendering to Him is being able to go, God, your outcome come about. Not the outcome I want, but your outcome. And sometimes the outcome that God brings doesn't exactly look the way that we want it to, or the way that he does it doesn't look the way that we want it to. But then it's like, will we trust him in that journey? Will we just trust him, you know, with the steps that he has us take, knowing that he's a good father that really wants the best for us? Sometimes it's really tough when we're reading scripture to go, how can I actually trust that if I do things God's way, it's going to work out? You know, maybe you read, like, love your father and your mother, and you go, well, it's pretty difficult to love my father and my mother. Or it says to honor them, you're like, how do I do that? Or maybe as a parent, you read the part that says, don't exasperate your children. You go, they're exasperating me. I don't know what to do. You know? And for us, those are simple things. But, you know, when it says love your enemy, pray for those that persecute you. When something like we're talking about this morning about giving, it's like, man, how do I give when the economy is the way that it is? How do I trust that if I do things God's way, that it's actually going to be a good outcome for me? But it's in these moments when we will just pause and quiet our mind and quiet our soul, when God can then remind us of who he is and who we are. But if these things we've been speaking of the last few weeks, this idea that we are sanctified, that we are not, that we used to be sinners, but now we're saints, if that's not solid in our heart, then the enemy just comes and drills in on us and goes, yeah, but this. Right? If we don't remember that we are righteous and justified before God, despite how we're acting right now, then the enemy comes with his accusations at us. And in those moments of peace, we can't get clarity because the enemy's just hammering our minds, accusing us and accusing us and accusing us of what we've done wrong. And, you know, he doesn't want us to actually believe that God is as good as he says he is, and he doesn't want us to know who we are in Christ. And so he comes with those lies. But when we remember, when we stand on the truth, when we put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, the buckle, the belt of truth around our waist, and we'll just go, yeah, that's right, I am saved. I am saved. That's protecting my mind. What's protecting my thoughts against the accuser? The fact that I am saved. I have given my life to Jesus. He is the author of my salvation. He is the one that perfects my faith. It is in him and him alone, by his blood, that I am saved. Not by works, though I can't boast. It's by him. Right? That's who I am. And I put on that blessed breastplate of righteousness. And I go, yes, I have been set apart for God. And the blood of Jesus and his body broken for me, it has made me righteous by me putting my faith in that. I am righteous, regardless of what anyone would try to say. I am the righteousness of Christ. Regardless of what my actions tell me, I am the righteousness of Christ. That is who I am. That is who you are. And that's why that belt of truth just holds all of it together, because it's the truth of Scripture, the truth of the very words of God that hold, that tell us this, that remind us of who we are, that we stand on. And it's when we believe from that place, when we understand our position, when we understand what Jesus has done for us, that we begin to be able to walk this thing out. You know, in those areas of our life, because like all of us here, right, if you've been walking with Jesus for a bit, there's some areas of our life, man, they're fully surrendered, they're easy, we've got victory in those areas, we're able to walk those things out the majority of the time. And then we have other areas of our life where maybe we are just struggling. And, you know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know, there's different times in your life where you're struggling with different things. And it's the same process with each one. Will I surrender that thing to Jesus? Will I surrender that to Jesus? Will I trust him with the outcome of this? Will I entrust him to watch over me, to protect me? Will I trust that he's bigger than any circumstance or any person that's standing in front of me, and I can really trust him with this thing? But it's in that place, and it's only in that place, that we begin to be able to walk out that salvation, where we begin to walk out the sanctification and become who it is that we're meant to become. You know? That we, in our weakness, we become strong. Why? Because we stopped relying on ourselves, and we put our reliance on him, and he is strong. You know, him working through us. But most of the time, we struggle in this thing of a bit of our, we keep trying to do it in our own ability, and we get in the way of what God is wanting to do. You know, but when we'll lay our own abilities down, we'll lay our own ways down, it's like, okay, God, this needs to be by your strength and by your leading, and I need you to bring this thing about. Whatever that is, whatever's going on in your life. Whether it's a test that you're struggling with, like, oh, I don't know how I'm ever going to get this concept, or whether it is something in your workplace or something in your family, that it's like, hey God, I'm going to trust you, that I'm going to hand this thing over to you. And then it starts to really be amazing. And then the other part of that trust is that as we hand things over to him, we do things his way. Because our way won't bring about his outcome, right? So in that place of being sanctified and being justified and being made holy by him, that we go, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that as I do things your way, your outcome will come about. Your outcome. And if you need faith to be able to walk in that way, ask him for faith. Ask him to help you in your unbelief. If you just need strength to be able to do that, then you ask him for that. Whatever you need, Jesus is there to give it to you. Whatever you need. And when we're discipling people, when we're walking with people, you know, as we're helping them become disciples of Jesus, it's this thing I'm reminding of you today, do that for them. Follow the example I'm setting for you today from beginning to end. Help them just get refocused on Jesus, to remember who they are, who Jesus has made them to be. Keep training them in the reality of who they are in Christ. Because without that, there's so many voices that keep telling us of, you know, that we're not that, telling us that we're not good enough, telling us that we're never going to make it, that we'll never be able to live out this life as God instructed us to do. That we have to live under the labels and identity that others put on us, or that we've adopted into our own lives. I'm going to read some scripture for us this morning. I don't have it up on the screen, and I just want you to listen. As I enjoy doing, I'm reading from the Message, which is a paraphrase of scripture, but again, Eugene Peterson just captures the heart of it. And it's, we're reading from Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. And this is Paul writing to the Ephesian church. And he says, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in your old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us. With all the time in the world, and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea. It's all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. And I just love that scripture because it just reminds us again that it's God, the one that's doing the work. We just have to partner with him. But it then reminds us at the end as well that we've been created, you know, to join with Jesus in the work that Jesus is doing, the good work that God's prepared for us to do with Jesus. So it doesn't mean we just sit around and do nothing, but it's that we're by what God's working in us, we start doing the work alongside Jesus. You know, what is that work? Well, he made it really clear. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Be a disciple. Be the salt and the light to the earth. Be that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Go and let your good work shine before men so that people can ask you, what's different about you? I just heard a testimony from someone just saying that their father was in the room with people while a family member was dying. The father was the only Christian in the room. And the people there afterwards are like, okay, his siblings are going, okay, tell me how you became a Christian, because we were just in that room with you and there was a piece there that made no sense. There was something in that room that was different. Help us understand that. And when we let our good work shine before men, what we're doing is we're like taking this understanding of who we are in Christ and this thing that we are justified, that we're holy, that we understand God's presence and power is with us all the time, and we just allow that to work through us to others. Just to let it work through. By us, we allow, and then in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, the power, the peace, the presence of God is able to flow to those around us. You know, in its simplest bit, that is it. It's also us being able to do the very things that Jesus said to us, right? He said, go, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Wow. And say, well, but if we can't figure out the peace of just allowing his light to shine for us, how do we ever live in this other one? Well, only by the power and the grace of God. Only by God's power. But it's that thing of we understand that it's not us that's doing that work. It's Christ working through us. It's him working through us. And then we have the peace to walk into those situations and do the very things that God asked us to do. To do those very things. You know? And a trust in faith in what God has said. If we're struggling, you know, if we're struggling in a particular area, whether that be an area of sin, maybe it's an area of sickness or things like this, that if we're finding ourselves and like, I can't break through, God, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. You know, why do we struggle with sin? Because we don't believe we have victory over it. We struggle with sin because we don't believe that we have victory over it. I told the story a while ago when I was in Poland, and I'm there and I'm exhausted and I like literally have nothing in me for that morning, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I need your help. And Jesus just goes, do you believe that I am who I say that I am? And I'm like, of course I do. He's like, no, do you really believe? Do you really believe that I am who I say I am? Do you believe that I've actually conquered sin and death? Do you believe that I've actually sanctified, justified, made you holy? Do you believe that I've conquered all sin and that I want to work through you today? Do you believe that I am who I say I am? You see, we either give testimony to the world's way Or we give testimony to God's way, but there's only those options. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You know, we either follow Jesus or we follow Satan. There's no other option. You know, we either believe the truth according to Scripture or we make up our own truth, which is usually founded in the lies of the world. Those are the only two options. And so the truth, according to Scripture, is that, you know, Jesus has conquered sin on all of our behalf. That's the truth. We are able, because of that, you know, we have been set free. The bonds and shackles of sin have been broken over each and every one of our lives. Yes, we're in this process of learning how to do that. We're in the process of learning how to walk that out. But I've got to start from a place of, I have absolute victory over this in Christ. So if I am still struggling with it, there is a disconnect somewhere in my belief of who I am and my exercising of that authority. That is the truth. That's simply the truth. And so I say that to encourage us today. Because I tell you, in that moment when I was there in Poland, exhausted with absolutely nothing to say, which is a very similar moment to what I was in this morning as I was sitting there going, Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to say. God's reminding, going, hey, do you believe who I am, who I say I am? I'm hoping this thing works, or I can make it work. Sound guys, hope you can make it work. Ah, it does, right? This is a piano. You know? Everyone agree? Is it a piano? Right? Okay, pretty cool. So we got this piano. Is it going to make any music if I don't touch it? No, right? I mean, it does have a little button I can push on it. It's going to start doing its own thing, but just for the sake of the exercise, it's not going to, and if we don't do something, it's not going to do anything, right? This piano is not going to play. And if I just come up to it, I'm like, wow, this is a piano. This is really cool. Is that good? Yeah? You're all lying. Lying is a sin. You're totally lying. Yeah? Yeah, it was awful. Let's be real. That is not, you know? That's what you do when you want to lie to your child and go, oh, you're so good, right? But, you know, we start learning it. I mean, the piano's a piano. It's capable, this thing is capable of playing Mozart, right? The beauty of music and the gifts that we see in different people is capable of all of those things, right? But if we don't know how to play, it doesn't matter how capable the thing is if we don't know how to actually use it. You know, and we can maybe begin and we can be like, you know. Whoa! It sounded okay, right? Sound a little better. But then we learn to play it. As we learn to play it, it starts sounding very different. It starts sounding the way that it was intended to be. Imagine you're this piano. If you let God play you, the hardest thing we have at the beginning is to actually let God play the tune. We resist him. And so if we won't let him put his fingers on us, then we stay silent. We're still that beautiful instrument that God created. But people don't get to experience the fullness of who we are. And when we'll allow the Holy Spirit, when we'll surrender, when we'll live by the Spirit, then suddenly the song that comes out of us is beautiful. And here, Somi, I'm going to hand over to you.